Light in this present darkness. This is Abounding Grace. Stumbling about in the darkness? Join us now for a time of light in the Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So grateful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As we've been doing this past week, want to invite you to a series of lectures that will be taking place in Canada at the Aldergrove Canadian Reformed Church, the Reformed Bible College. I will be lecturing there during their winter course semester, and anyone and all are invited. This is Thursday evenings beginning January 13 at 7:30 p.m. Come on out. Let's study the Gospel of John together. If you've been growing from this, we'll get into great detail and have some good discussions learning about the Gospel of John. It is a class. You have to register, so that can be done at www.rbcollege.com. www.rbcollege.com for more info. Well, let's jump in today to our study in John chapter 6. Now, you'll remember Jesus has made jolting statements here about the sovereignty of God. They are murmuring against his teachings that he is the bread come down from heaven. And Jesus says, don't murmur among yourselves. In verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. The Father must do this for you. Father must sovereignly bring you. Free will's dead. You won't come. No one can come, he says. Well, we've been studying what coming looks like. That was the question that we left off with yesterday. How do I know that I've come? And we studied the promise of the new covenant, where Jesus cites that here, and they shall be taught by God. The promise of the new covenant is that Jesus, says here, we would be taught by God. We would know him. The Father would write these things on our hearts. That's what's happening. That we would know Christ. And we see in this very section, you know, these people don't know him. They can't know him. Jesus says, but everyone who the Father teaches, who has heard and learned and knows him and believes in them, they're going to be forgiven. Now, this is where Peter comes into play. Peter shows us what coming looks like. Peter teaches us what coming is. Remember what Jesus asked Peter, who am I? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. My Father, Peter, has done something for you. He has taught you. He's revealed me to you so that you would know me. Now, do you see the beauty of this passage in all this darkness? It ends with thousands walking away at the very end. Jesus turns to the 12 and he says, what? Do you also want to go away? Do you want to leave? Here's what the text wants you to see. They couldn't leave him because the Father had given it to them. The Father had dragged them. The Father had brought them. The Father had taught them. Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? We can't imagine leaving you, the place where your words of life are. You have the words of life, eternal life. We've come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe you. We know you. You are the only source of life. Your words are life. We know and believe you are the Son of God. We see you. Our eyes have been opened. This is what happens in every Christian. Remember Lydia? The Lord, we read, opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Remember when Saul was converted, scales fell from his eyes? Don't murmur. You can't come unless the Father who sent me draws you. And he does that, dear radio listener, by giving you the spiritual ability to hear and learn the things of heaven, heavenly things that transcend the earthly. But here's the thing I want to focus in on today as we close this week's study of John 6. How do I know, since you got all these false followers here, that are following have not really been changed, how do I know that I have don't just have a mere intellectual agreement? That it's not just empty knowledge, you know, that I've really come. How do I know? You know, because that's what we've been programmed to think in this country, that it's just boiled down to a few questions, walking an aisle, saying a prayer, answering some profession of faith questions, and that's it. I want you to think about how Jesus explains that. Think of all these people in this chapter who want physical satisfaction, just want their bellies filled, who want signs and wonders, and who are so empty. Most assuredly, he who believes in me has everlasting life, Jesus says. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Jesus is very direct here. I'm that bread. But not bread that if you eat, you'll die. But bread that if you eat me, my flesh, you're going to live forever. Did you just hear him right? You can picture this, can't you? This Jesus just said, if we eat his flesh, we'll live. Verse 52. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They knew the law. You can't eat blood. Leviticus 17:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is blood that makes atonement by reason of the life. Surely they thought to themselves, is this Jesus claiming the ability to do that? They knew what he was saying. I think we often miss this. Putting it all together, how can that be? How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Is he claiming to be equal with God and then offering us to eat himself? You can be sure they thought this was madness. And so in verse 53 of John 6, the whole thing climaxes. Listen to Jesus' words. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You're not living unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Then he says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. You're all caught up in the signs and wonders, temporary healing stuff, aren't you? You're not going to live with that. You must eat me. Are you seeing what belief is, dear radio listener? These things are written that you may believe. What is belief? It's deep, satisfying rest in Jesus Christ. That deep satisfaction in your souls that so sees him that you're full, that you're filled with him, that he is beautiful to you beyond anything our natural cravings push upon us. I've tasted him. I've eaten him. I've digested in my soul the most blessed and fulfilling bread offered under the sun to man, heavenly bread, and it's sweet. It's so filling. It's like water to the satisfying of the thirst of my soul. He's like bread to fill my inner life with satisfaction. Think of how the Bible contrasts those who eat him this way as opposed to those who do not. My joy is complete because I know him. I'm known by him. I love him. He becomes the desire of my heart in the wilderness. He satisfies. That's the filled life. He fills me. That's what he's about to say. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. He's saying, my life must flow into you. You must be joined to me, and you're going to really live. You're going to really be satisfied. You're going to come treasure him deeply within your souls. And the life that you live, you will live by faith in the Son of God who gave himself for you. You see, those who have come know it. Because the very confession, you see, of Peter is where they stand. We have nothing else in life, nowhere else to which we could turn. You're it. We found the pearl. We found the pearl of great price. We have found you to be the ultimate treasure of our hearts. We are satisfied in you. We have the words of life. You have the words of life. To whom else could we go? We don't want to leave you. We've tasted your goodness, O Lord. You satisfy us. We've been taught. And we've come to believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can you say that? And you say that. As I survey the chapter here, you know, I see unregenerate hearts. And you know how those unregenerate hearts show themselves? The Jews complained. Therefore, the Jews quarreled, verse 52. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Did you notice the pattern of a life that's not filled there? I know what it's like. Because it's described here in such power. It's a complaining life. It's a miserable life. It's not filled. It's unhappy. And it always ends up moving to the progression of fighting. Fighting with others. Fighting to the point of departure. And this, dear radio listener, is taking place in the visible kingdom of God. So that's the challenge here today. You have to be brought. The Father must do this for you. That's how bad your situation is. So as we come back to the question of the text, is your life here exposed by those who are unsatisfied, miserable, complaining, unfilled departers, drifters? Or by grace, have you come and tasted and seen that the Lord is good? If you can say that today, if you've been taught of God, if you believe the Son, if you're resting in him, do you know how blessed you are? Blessed are you. For flesh and blood has not done that. You did not earn that. You did not get that. You did not just figure it out because you're so much wiser than everyone else. The Father's done something for you. He's taught you. He's brought you to the Son so that you might live. You see, that's the point of this text. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy your life. And we try to drink out of any and every other well that we can to find satisfaction. Oh, when we come, we're like Peter. You know, where else could we go? Where else could I go today? Well, I have my eyes fixed on Christ. He's the only one who ever has and ever will satisfy the deep longing of my heart. So, dear radio listener, I plead with you today over the radio. Hell's very real. A place of eternal darkness Jesus spoke about a lot. Why go there? Come to Christ. Believe in him. And if you've come, relish today the wonderful sovereign grace you've received, for you are blessed, a blessed person by God himself to be taught by him and to be brought to his Son. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Make that note, 6 p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com, 360-318-0429 is the phone number. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.